أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. آمين رب العالمين. حمزة, would you please turn the lights on? Today we have the 27 juz, 29 juz, sorry, that we'll cover. And the 29 juz and the 30th juz of the Quran are two of the most, they are the two earliest revelations of Quran. Most of the surahs, most of the passages in these two juz are very early Makkan Quran. When we say it's very early Makkan Quran, it means that there is a focus primarily on the Akhirah, on on acquiring the ability, or the acquiring the certainty that there is going to be an Akhirah, number one. And number two, there is a lot of consoling of the Prophet ﷺ, because early on the Meccan, early on hearing those insults were very hard for the Prophet ﷺ. You know, when something happens, and you know, the first instance of a, the first moment of a tragedy is the hardest. It generally gets easier over time. And likewise, this was a tragedy for the Prophet ﷺ, because he was he was not used to hearing these kind of things. So when he had to hear them, it was very difficult for him. So those are the two main motifs of these two juz, and we keep them in mind, inshallah, as we examine the last two juz. The 29 juz in particular, every surah in the 29 juz has a scene from the Day of Judgment, except Surah Nuh, which is the 71st surah, and Surah Jinn, which is the 72nd surah. Every other surah in this juz has a scene from the Day of Judgment, or a scene from Jannah, or a scene from Jahannam. So that's the point of these surahs, to build in us the conviction of that day. And this is important for a beginner who wants to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just as important for somebody who has been a Muslim for a while and they want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, أَلَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That salah is very difficult for people, except those who يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ, that they are certain that they will meet their master on the Day of Judgment, that they will be standing in front of him. So that certainty, that conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us in front of him, and we will be standing in front of him, and we will be asked about what we did in our lives, that is actually the key to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one thing that will improve our lives. If we can implement that in our lives, if we can understand that we will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day, that will improve our lives. That's the starting point for somebody who's just trying to become a Muslim or trying to come back to Islam. That is a start, and that is the point where every Muslim, doesn't matter where they are in their journey, that is the one key that applies to all of us. So that's why these juz is really, really critical to study them, and study them in detail and briefly. We're going to study them briefly today, but inshallah, over the course of the entire year, inshallah, my goal is that we can go from Surah Hujurat, which is 59, to Surah Nas, which is 114, and all those surahs, about four juz in total, the 26, 27, 28, 27, 28, 29, 30, these four juz, if you can cover them, and in some level of detail, inshallah, that will be a good resource and a good starting point for all of us, inshallah, to improve our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that is something after Ramadan that we'll be doing. Okay, let's get into this juz. It starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. That blessed is the one in whose hand is al-mulk, the kingdom, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he is able to do all things. He has the power to do all things. بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ, when something is in a person's hand, that means that they have full control over it. Right? So the way Allah describes everything, He says it's in His hand. He has full control over it, subhanAllah. And He says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي, extremely blessed. Baraka, which means blessing, this is the verb of it, تَبَارَكَ. And this has got, you know, this has got تَبَارَكَ, that this type, this family of verbs is actually to show that there is there's a hyperbole. There's a lot of it. So تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي, the extremely blessed is the one who controls everything. And the way we get blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we say His name. We say His name, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and we eat, and then our food is blessed. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and then we do whatever we have to do, and that action is blessed. Even to the point of having relations with our spouses. We say Bismillah and begin, then that's a blessed, that's a blessed relation, blessed coming together. So, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Very important ayah. This is one of the most important ayat of this juz. Allah is the one who خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ, He created death, وَالْحَيَاةَ, and life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, why did He create all of this, this entire system? Why are we here? What's the point of life? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so He could test you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, which of you has the most excellent deeds. Not the which one, أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا, no. Not the one who does the most deeds. The one who does the best quality of deeds. It's about the quality, not the quantity. The quantity is important, don't get me wrong. But it's really about the quality. The reason why Allah has created us is He wants to see what is the quality of our actions. أحسن عملا. And we mentioned yesterday, or a couple of days before yesterday, الإحسان is أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. It's as if you worship Allah. You worship Allah as if you can see Him. And فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. And if you can't get to that level, then at least realize He's watching you. That is إحسان. So if, imagine if we were to pray like that. Imagine if we were to speak like that. Imagine if we were to conduct business like that. Imagine if we were to, when we're fasting, all the time we're keeping in mind that Allah is watching us. أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That's what the مَعْيَار, that's the criterion, the rubric that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to use to evaluate this. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ, and He is the one who is mighty and forgiving. Generally, people who are mighty are tyrannical. They don't have the ability to forgive. But Allah says He's mighty and He forgives as well. So He has the ability to punish, but He also is forgiving and He forgives often. And the interesting thing is, this ayah explains to us why bad things happen in life. Why bad things happen in life, this ayah explains to us. Because He says, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so He can test you. And part of the test is when things don't go the way we want them to go. Something happens, somebody loses their job, they get laid off, somebody loses a family member, something bad happens, somebody doesn't get into the school that they want to get into, the career choice they wanted is not there anymore. All these are bad things. And these are things that we don't like. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see is our reaction to them. And if we can be patient in that situation, things that we can't control, we have to be patient about them. Things we can't control, we work to improve them. This is the part of the test of life. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا, He is the one who created the seven skies, طِبَاقًا, one over the other. This is something we cannot see, and only Allah knows the reality of this. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِن تَفَاوُتٍ, but you will not find in the creation of the Most Merciful, مِن تَفَاوُتٍ, any flaw. Any flaw. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ, so go look again, do you find any break in the system? Any glitch in the matrix, if I can borrow that phrase. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ, and then go back and look again. Can you find any flaw? Can you find anything that's broken? Now, one thing that people point out, interestingly, they're like, oh look, there is a flaw. What's the flaw? The flaw is the human beings, or for example, that the eye is so beautiful. Yes, we know it's beautiful, but the flaw in the eye is that it, you know, withers over time, loses power over time. Right? That's why people have to wear glasses when reading glasses when they get old. The eye loses its power. So let's say, how can this be the perfect creation of God when this creation itself is not perfect? And the response to that is that we've seen in almost in its entirety that whenever Allah mentions the creation, He mentions with it resurrection. Creation and resurrection in the Quran are always mentioned together. We notice that here as well, He's mentioning creation of the sky, زَيَّنَ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, and then He right away mentions what? Resurrection. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And even actually before that, over here He mentions resurrection and continues to mention a scene from the Day of Judgment, a scene from hellfire. This is a constant theme in the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us that the creation is, you know, incredible and systematic, but at the same time the design of the creation is that it goes from weakness to strength to back to weakness, and then it dies. In fact, the better life cycle is, doesn't exist, exists but very weak, powerful, then goes back to weakness, and then doesn't exist anymore. That's the life cycle. So, subhanAllah, whenever Allah says, فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ الْفُطُورِ, or somebody who says the eye is not perfectly designed, we say, well, you actually haven't understood the theme of the design here. That Allah has created this to show us that we are not all powerful, we're not all capable. And to show us that when the eye is becoming weaker and weaker, and we become weaker and weaker, and we die, that is a reality check, that we are limited, and we have limited resources, we have limited time, and most importantly, we'll be brought back to life. So this is a very important thing that Allah mentions here. He mentions, by the way, also, you notice, خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. He says He created death and life, not life and death. You notice in the ayah, it says maut and then haya. Why would He do that? The reason for this is, al-maut, a lot of the things that's mentioned now, that's coming in the surah, is talking about what happens after al-maut, after death. So, it's for to make it appropriate, to synchronize the content with the style, al-maut is brought before and al-haya is brought second. For example, we see that the people who are going to Jahannam, they're described in a very interesting description. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. When they are thrown in it, they will hear the absolute dreadful inhaling of Jahannam. Because it's, you know, like breathing in the air. And that dreadful sound, شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ, as it's about to, you know, boil up in anger. In fact, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْثِ, it almost bursts with fury. مِنَ الْغَيْثِ. It's like, imagine, I think all of us seen cartoons and movies where there's like a monster or something, and the monster is growling when it sees a prey, right? And it's, you know, when the prey gets closer and closer, growls even more, and there's this snorting and growling, and, you know, there's an excitement. It's like a beast. Jahannam is like a beast, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ. It's not just a fire that's burning somewhere. It's like it's got a life of its own. In fact, in Surah Qaf, we didn't get a chance to read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Jahannam, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِن مَزِيدٍ. Allah will ask Jahannam, are you done? Are you full? And Jahannam will say, is there more? It's like a hungry beast waiting to devour more and more of its prey. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from Jahannam. This idea of Jahannam's description is to show that it's not going to be, this is not a place where you want to be even close to. It's not a place you want to even be close to. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْثِ. Now, what happens when people are being thrown in it? كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ. Every time a group of people are thrown in it, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. The guardians, the angels who are guarding the hellfire, or the angels that are by the doors of hellfire, they will say, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ. Didn't somebody come to tell you about this? قَالُوا بَلَا. They said, of course, they came to us. قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ. A warner came to us. فَكَذَّبْنَا. But we called him a liar. We called him a liar. We called the message a lie. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And we said, Allah has not said anything. This is all made up stuff. These are all stories. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. And you have truly lost your way. The people who came and said, don't do this. Don't, you know, don't rip each other off in business. Don't take this kind of this job. You know, this is not the right career choice. Da da da. All of this is nonsense. You know, all of you have lost your way. You're crazy. What's important is to, you know, lead a good, wholesome life and not hurt anybody. And, you know, all this other stuff is just made up. In antum illa fi dhalalin kabir. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا. And they said, notice again the past tense. Very, very subtle in the Quranic discourse. The past tense is used to describe what's going to happen in hellfire and in Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. Very often. As if it's already happened. It's a done deal. وَقَالُوا. They said, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُوا. If we had, we wished, or we theoretically, if we had heard, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُوا. أَوْ نَعْقِلُوا. Or if we have used our brains, مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. We would not have been in this dreadful situation. We would not have been the companions of this blaze. We would not have been in this fire. What's really remarkable is the usage of the word نَعْقِلُوا. If we had used our brains. Because the majority of people who use their brains today, very intelligent, very smart academics, they say there is no hellfire, there is no resurrection, all this is made up. In antum illa fi dhalalin kabir. All of you people who are believers, you're crazy, you've lost your way. Just be a good person, and that's it. That's all life is. And Allah says, if they had only, they would in fact say, as quoted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they're going in Jahannam, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ. If we had only listened or used our brains, we would not have been here. Why usage of the brain? Very important. Because, you see, when we look around the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it gives us lots of clues of the resurrection. The imperfect nature of people and creation, that even galaxies form and then they die. Human beings are born and they die. Everything has a peak and then it dies and it withers away, loses strength. It shows that there is, everything is limited and everything comes to an end. Likewise, this system that we're living in, our life will also come to an end. And when it comes to an end, that's the Day of Judgment. That's your clue. That's the biggest clue. So they said, if we had only used our brains, we would not have been here. Very, very powerful ayat. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. So they will admit their sin. They would say, yes, we are criminals, we are convicted criminals, we belong here. فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So away with the people of the hellfire, of the blazing hellfire. Sa'ir is one of the names of hellfire, and it's a burning blaze. فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. So away with them. This also tells us something very important about the idea that the person who has received the message and rejected the message is the one who is going to hellfire. The one who has not received the message is not going to hellfire. Their judgment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them. Because the people who are entering hellfire, they say, we had a warner. Somebody told us about this. And then we said, no, you're crazy, you're wrong, we're right. You see? And then when they're going, they fa'atarafu, they would admit that, yes, we're wrong, we belong here. So somebody who has not received the message, this doesn't apply to them. This is a question, this is a concern some people have. How can Allah be, how is this just? Right? And we say Allah is the most just. He will, you know, judge them accordingly, and that's his job. As for the one who is going to Jahannam, he had the message. But جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا. Somebody came to warn us, but we said you are a liar, and this thing is a lie. This is the point. Right? The Quran is not going to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather is not going to put somebody in hellfire without sin, without due cause. Yes, sir. Sure. So,
what does it say the Vietnamese, for example?
Yes.
They haven't received
So we can't make a general statement about the Vietnamese or something. Yeah. Somebody in the Amazon jungle. Right? The Inca in the Amazon. Right. So there's two things. First is they had a fitrah. The fitrah, the question, by the way, of people who are online, the question is, what about somebody who has not received the message? Say like the natives 200 years ago. Most probably they didn't receive any message. Or the Inca in the Amazon or something. Because the Vietnamese, there's some Muslims there, right, by the way, and they're connected to the world, so they do know there is something called Islam and there is someone who's called Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it's different times, right? People know about everything. So now it's different times. Let's say 200 years ago, right? So for that, there's two things. Number one, their judgment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First thing we say is the one who goes to Jahannam has received the message. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. This is, in the entire Quran we find this. Not a single time that a person goes to Jahannam and the angels are asking them, didn't you receive the message? And they say, yes, we received the message. Right? So now the second thing is that, but they have a fitrah. They have a fitrah. The moral compass that tells us what's good and what's bad. And now, of course, that doesn't... that is not going to be... It's not like revelation, which tells us clearly, this is haram, this is halal, this is shirk, and this is tawheed. But it's still, there is a moral compass everybody has that they should exercise. And say, you know what, this is... doesn't make any sense. Why am I worshipping this tree? This tree, well, I can cut it down today and it's gone. Right? This ability of fitrah and thinking and intellect, that's everybody has it. Right? Assuming they're not, you know, maybe mentally handicapped or something. Assuming that they're mentally sane. This is something that everybody has. And their judgment will be on their fitrah. What did you do with your fitrah? You had an inclination, you had an idea, you had a brain. What did you do based on that? You see? And their judgment, the answer to that judgment, we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them on the Day of Judgment. And there's some narrations that He will test them also on the Day of Judgment and then make a decision and whatnot. But they're not like somebody who has received the message and said, no way. Right? So Allah wa'alam, but they do have a fitrah. It's not like they're totally... no one can say we don't know anything. We had no idea about this. No one can say that because everybody had a fitrah, everybody had brains and intellect, right? لو كنا نسمع ونعقل. This is the important part. The aql was, everybody was given aql, right?
Mm-hmm.
They received the message. Yes. Of course. What I'm saying is the aql was given to everybody, and the fitrah was given to everybody. That is going to be their test then. That is going to be, their judgment will be on that then. These people were given fitrah, aql and revelation. So they're, you know, worse off. Because they called the scripture a lie, they called the fitrah a lie, they didn't use their aql, so definitely they end up here, right? But those will be tested on their fitrah and their aql, right? It's not like nobody will come on the Day of Judgment and say, oh Allah, I had no clue anything was happening. No one can say that, because the response will be, you had a fitrah, you had aql, you had to use it, right? Now, judgment of that person, we don't know. But we know that everybody has something that they will be asked about. Everybody has something they'll be asked about. Wallahu a'lam. Does that address the question? At the same time, in the Quran we see that every time Allah mentions the people of Jahannam, He always mentions the people of Jannah. Because the idea is, He wants to tell us, Jahannam is bad, but if you want Jannah, it's always there, right next to it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those who truly fear their master, بِالْغَيْبِ, without having seen him. Without having seen him. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. For them is a great forgiveness and a great reward. وَأَسِرُّوا قَوْلَكُمْ أَبِجْهَرُوا بِي. Or if you were to hide your speech, or you publicize it, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. It makes no difference. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it all. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Also another very important ayah. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ. Does the one who creates, is the one who creates, does he not know what he created? أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. In fact, he is the one who is aware of the most subtle things of a person. الْخَبِيرُ, the one who knows it completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples in the Quran, so we can give examples. about the relationship between things and try to understand the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that light. If somebody, excuse me, is a computer programmer or something, and they are making a computer program, right, and they wrote it from scratch, they know everything about that program. You can't just go and tell them that, oh, your program is this or that. They will know everything about it. Particularly those, for example, who've worked for 20, 30 years, and their entire life's work, their career, has been working on one large piece of software. They know everything about that large software. Sometimes it takes people 3-4 years to even get acquainted with it. They know everything about it, because they're the one who wrote it, right? Likewise, the same relationship. When Allah has created us, isn't it logical that He would know everything about us? That what we want, what is good for us, what's bad for us, what roles we need to play in our lives, in society, all these things, He would know what's best for us. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is the one who is very well acquainted and with the most subtle things. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us, so there is some ayat that are talking about the Day of Judgment. Then Allah Ta'ala brings some ayat that talks about the things that we can see. For example, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ. Remember I said every surah in this juz has a scene from the Day of Judgment. From Day of Judgment or Hellfire or Jannah, every surah has one. So this was Surah Mulk that discussed that. But also Surah Mulk has some things that, some evidences that we can see and observe. For example, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضٍ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. Don't they see to, don't they look at the birds? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ. رَأَى إِلَى is to look at it, but with a bit of a, not just, you know, you look as if the birds are flying by, but you're looking and observing and you're paying attention. Right? The look is a look of observation, a careful look. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ. Don't they look at the birds carefully? صَافَّاتٍ فَوْقَهُمْ, sorry, above them. صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِنْ. They are spreading their wings and then basically flapping their wings, spreading them and then folding in their wings. Can they see these birds? مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is only the most merciful who keeps them afloat. Now the question is, He points out the wings. We know the wings keep them afloat, right? But Allah says, no, actually, it is Ar-Rahman who keeps them afloat in the air. Right? So, what is the reconciliation here? The explanation that is provided is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the wings firstly. So He's the one who's keeping them afloat. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created the system, the laws of nature that we know, gravity and, you know, friction and I forgot what it's called, like even the aerodynamics that you have in air, right? Those are all laws, physical laws that are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as part of the creation, as part of the earth. خَلَقَ السَّبَعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا, as part of the sky, as part of the atmosphere. So He created that system, and thus all this would fall under that as well. That these birds can flap their wings and stay in the air because Allah created that system. These birds can flap their wings and, you know, fly because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the capability. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who allows them to fly, and nobody else. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٍ. He is watching everything. Sorry, Hamza, can you come back? Okay. This is, and the surah concludes. Hamza, sorry. Can you just see if my head is not being cut off? Is it okay? Alright. Zakat okay. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ. Now, this is something that's interesting. At the very end of the surah, the Day of Judgment, the scene is brought back. Allah says, when the people of who have disbelieved, when they see the Day of Judgment, رَأَوْهُ زُلْفَةً, coming closer. سِيئَتْ وُجُوهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Their faces will basically be distressed. Sa'a is to be sad and upset, or sa'a is for something to not be good. So their faces will start to, that depression and that emotion will show on their face. وَقِيلَ هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُ بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ, and it will be said to them, this is what you were promised. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes the surah with three quls. Qul, qul, qul. These are arguments that the Prophet ﷺ is making. أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ أَوْ رَحِمَنَا فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. You see, if Allah is to destroy me and those who are with me, then who will save you guys? If Allah destroys me and He's capable of destroying me and those who are with me, then imagine who's going to save you. Meaning He has total power. I don't have any power. My people don't have any power. You don't have any power. This is what the Prophet is trying to tell them. قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. He is Ar-Rahman, the one who is most merciful. This name repeats so often in Surah Mulk. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. Because a lot of the things here describe the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. We believe in Him and upon Him we trust. وَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And you will soon know who is in a clear error, who is clearly misguided. Remember, the people of Jahannam said the same thing, ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. They said that to their people who came to warn them, that no, you're totally lost, you're totally wrong. And the Prophet is saying to these people now, you will soon know who's right and who's wrong. And that who's right and who's wrong, you cannot know in life. It can only come after a person dies. Because that's when the angel of death is seen, and that's when the reality of the ghaib opens up. But Allah, the Prophet says, the Prophet is told to say to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And the last one is a question. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Rhetorical question. If your water is, you know, مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا becomes, you know, basically it disappears in the earth. Because they would used to have wells and oases, right? That's where they stored their, that's where most of the water supply was, because Arabia didn't have any rivers flowing through it. Even rivers, because rivers also disappear in the ground sometimes. Imagine if the source of your water, which is rivers, wells and oases, and even lakes, if the water started sinking into them, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, then who could bring that water back, the water that flows? Where can you get, is it conceivable that you can get that water back if the water sinks into the earth and disappears? I was watching a documentary and they were showing these, it was about in the drought that came in Australia. And there's these huge valleys. And they used to be rivers. They used to be rivers that would flow into the sea. But now they're dried up, they're bone dry. You can walk them. So if once the water of a river goes and the river that riverbed is no longer a riverbed, it's dry, you can't bring it back. You just hope that there's enough rain, or you just hope that, you know, there's something happens that the water starts flowing again. But once it goes, it's not coming back. It's really, even to this day, a big lake is different, because a big lake is a lot of water, right? But a river is a very good example, or a well or an oasis is a really good example, because that is a smaller body of water and it can dry up very fast. Once it dries up, it's gone. You can keep digging, you can keep digging, it's not coming back until you hit the part of the earth that's bedrock. Once you hit bedrock, that's it, that's just rock. So it's very, very, it's a very stark question. Because it's to show we're limited. Despite all our capabilities, we're still limited. We're still dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how far we get ahead and how far we become, how advanced we become, we're still dependent on His resources. We're still dependent on the oil that we find in the earth. If the oil starts to, you know, diminish and just no longer exists, or the coal supply runs out, then what are we doing? What are we going to use for fuel? Okay, the sun. What if the sun, you know, the clouds cover the sun? The point is, all the resources that we use to fuel our lives are dependent still on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's to show, and water is the most fundamental of those needs. This is to show then that despite our advancements, we're still dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't forget that. This is that whole point of aql. The people who go in Jahannam, they say, if we had used our brains, this is a thing that a person who has brains will think about. Right? This is something for people who want to think. This is a point that they could think about and realize that Allah is the one who is in control, ultimately, despite the fact that we have some power and some authority. Next surah is Surah Qalam, Surah Nun. Okay? We'll pick up the pace a little bit now. Surah Qalam is one of the three surahs in Quran that begins with just one letter. There is Surah Sad, Surah Qaf, and then you have Surah Nun. Surah Qalam is also called Surah An-Nun. And it begins with the letter Nun wal Qalami wa ma yasturun. Allahu alam why the Nun is there. Then Allah takes an oath. Wal Qalam. He says, I swear by the pen. Wa ma yasturun. And what they write with the pen. Excuse me. So that's the oath. Oath is the pen and what the people write with the pen. Okay? Now, what is it that Allah is using the oath to strengthen? Remember we talked about that, I think, a day before yesterday. That Allah takes an oath to strengthen an argument. But unlike people, when Allah takes an oath to strengthen the argument, there is a very beautiful connection between what he takes an oath by and what the argument is. Okay? So let's take a look at what the argument is. The argument is, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. That you are, because of the favor of your Lord, absolutely not a madman. You're not crazy. You haven't lost your mind. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And absolutely, no doubt, for you is a great reward. غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. That is not going to be cut off. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And absolutely no doubt, you are upon beautiful or great manners. Upon great manners. عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ means like he owns great manners. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some people, this passage in Surah Nun, Surah Al-Qalam, is the second revelation. The first is اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Right? And there's the second word, there's some dispute. Which was the second one? And some people who are, some mufassirin say this is the second one. Because what happened when the Prophet ﷺ came and he said, you know, I saw an angel and he said this to me. A lot of the people who were even not enemies would say that, you know, he's probably kind of lost it. He's been in the cave for so many days, for so many months, he's been going in the cave, right? And he probably saw something much, he probably lost, you know, some capabilities, some mental capabilities. And they're not saying that to hurt him, but they're saying that as a means of, you know, consoling him. So this was an early reaction to the Prophet ﷺ saying, I received revelation. Of course, there was also the reaction of Khadija and Abu Bakr and Waraqa ibn Nawfal. They all said, yes, you're a prophet, and we believe in you right away, right? But a lot of the others who may have heard this would say, you know what, he's been going to the cave for a year, he's probably seeing things now, right? He's kind of lost it a little bit because he's going to the cave so much. He's left his business and he goes and sits in the cave. He probably has lost it a little bit, right? They're saying this not as against the message because they don't know the message yet. But they're saying that sometimes even as a trying to console the person or trying to make an excuse for the person. But Allah says, no, absolutely not, you have not lost your mind. You didn't see it, you didn't make it up. It's definitely the truth. You are not crazy, you have not lost your mind. And in fact, you will have a great reward that has no end. And you are on the highest, you are on the peak of manners. This is before he became a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is before he became a prophet. عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. He was already at the peak of manners. He already owned great manners. And when he became a messenger, it was a magnification of that. You see? It was incredible. That's why he was called As-Sadiq Al-Amin. That's why everybody loved him and trusted him. Because of his manners. Because of how great his personality was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even before he became a messenger, he had already reached that peak. And then he became a messenger and further. Now, the oath was Qalam and what they write. And what the argument is, O Prophet, you're not crazy, you will have a great reward, and absolutely no doubt that you own great manners. It's to strengthen, it's about the Messenger ﷺ, right? The argument is, the Messenger ﷺ is a great man, and he is not insane. So, what's the relationship? The relationship is if you understand qalam as the pen, or a pen that people use to write. And when we write things, that's how we acquire knowledge, right? Knowledge is acquired when, you know, you read something and you write down notes, you write down, people write their notes, they hear something, they write it down, people write books. Knowledge is acquired by writing, and particularly gathered and transferred to the next generation, to the next generation by writing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I take an oath by the pen and all knowledge that exists, acquired knowledge that people have acquired, that you are not crazy, you are a prophet, and you are on the highest pedestal of manners. There's a very intricate relationship between the two, right? Because your manners are so great, all the acquired knowledge that you know of other prophets, their history, other great people, their characteristics. All people who are loved and respected had great manners. And you have great manners. In fact, you have the highest level of manners. So there is this very nice and deep connection between the two. Now, this surah has a story about the Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashabal jannati idh aqsamu la yasrimunnaha musbihin. About the people of the garden. We have tried them, no doubt, in the same way that we tried the ashabul jannah, the people of the garden. Idh aqsamu la yasrimunnaha musbihin. These were people who had a garden somewhere, and the garden was ready. The fruits were ready to be plucked, and they became a little arrogant and a bit full of themselves. So they said, we're going to go in the morning and we'll take our crops. وَلَا يَسْتَثْنُونَ, and they didn't say, Inshallah. Okay. فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِّن رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. The garden came, there was a, something came that struck it, a tornado, a deadly wind or something. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ, then it became as if it was already reaped, meaning all the plants, all the crops were ripped out of the roots and just scattered. So it's not usable anymore, right? It's not usable anymore. When the fruit has been has fallen from the tree and it sits on the ground, it rots and decays. It's no longer the same thing, right? And if it's blown away, it's gone. It's not even there anymore. So أصبحت كالصريم. Now they were going in the morning, early morning, to try to catch their fruit and to try to collect their fruit, and they would say, فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. They would say to each other, now this is to show the character of these people. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ's character was at the peak, right? These people are presented as an example. Generic people, we don't know who they are. It's a generic example. But it's to show that there was something lacking in their character. What was it? They said, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Don't let any poor person come to you, because we don't want to give them, we don't want to help them. We worked hard for our garden, we will keep our money for ourselves. Okay, now check what happened. وَغَدَوْ عَلَىٰ حَرْضٍ قَادِرِينَ فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَضَالُونَ. They went and they saw the garden and they're like, I think we've lost the way. We've lost the way here. No doubt this is not, we've lost the way, this is not our garden. But then they realized this is it. In fact, it has been destroyed by a tornado or by a calamity. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. So they say, in fact, we have been forbidden, or we have been deprived. Now, قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْ لَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. The best of them said that you should have said, you know, inshallah, you should have made tasbih, and Allah would have protected your crops. And then they started to blame, they started to realize their fault, إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ, and they started to blame each other. Okay? Now, يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا طَاغِينَ عَسَى رَبُّنَا أَن يُدْخِلَنَا أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. They said, we've transgressed, we haven't done a good job, but we hope that our master will replace for us خَيْرًا مِنْهَا, what's better than it. إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا رَاغِبُونَ. We are hopeful in our master. And then Allah says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. This is how the punishment is. Meaning, all this that happened. First of all, there was a character flaw in these people. They were greedy. They didn't want to share their wealth with people who were poor and needy. They didn't want to do that. They were greedy. They wanted to just keep all the money for themselves. And this is a byproduct of somebody who doesn't believe in the Akhirah. When you believe in the Akhirah, you want to give. You want to help others. There's actually, that's why you want to, you would do it. Some people who don't believe in the Akhirah also help others because of their humanity, right? But really, for a person who doesn't have any faith in the Akhirah, they don't really have any motivation to help out others. Because you see it as your money is decreasing. As you give it to somebody, you see your bank account decreasing. You see your resources floundering. So, subhanAllah, the idea is that this is the first thing, that's a character flaw. That they wanted everything for themselves, and they wanted to hoard it. You know, one of the great businessmen of our times, who founded a company that's very famous, that makes phones, right? He was notorious for not giving any donations to any organization. Okay? Talk about Apple and Steve Jobs. He was notorious for that. Because he saw it as a waste of money. If you read his biography. Right? There's also some other good humanitarians like like Bill Gates and stuff. But generally speaking, this is how businessmen view it. It's a loss of money. If you're going to spend in charity, make sure there's good public relations. It becomes a good event. Publicity, so we can get more money back later on. But really helping a person from the goodness of a soul, it's mostly, almost always, is based on iman. And based on iman. Because you're doing this because you know Allah will return that money to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you reward. Otherwise, what's the motivation? Right? So, that's the first character flaw that they had. The second character flaw that they had is they were blaming each other. Like, it's your fault, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. You should have done this. You should have said, subhanAllah. You should have said, inshaAllah. But the believer blames himself first. Something went wrong. Okay, what can I do to become better? What could I have done better? That's why the Prophet ﷺ is described, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ. Perhaps you want to kill yourself. Because, أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. They're not becoming believers. When they're not accepting the Prophet ﷺ's message, the Prophet would think, to himself, is there something wrong with me? Am I not doing a good job here? Am I not conveying the message properly here? Is it that the way I am acting is not good enough? What is it about me? That's how a believer thinks. Something goes wrong, what is it that I can do to improve? This is a character flaw that they have. They're blaming. Oh, it's your fault. You should have said inshallah. No, it's your fault. You should have said inshallah. Your fault. You should have said subhanallah. Right? We lost all this money because of you. This is not the way the believer works. And the last thing that's really critical is كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. The azab, the punishment of the akhirah is going to be bigger. You notice here, the punishment was that they lost the years, their crop. But then they said عَسَى رَبُّنَا أَن يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Hopefully our master will give us a second chance. Right? And a second chance that we'll get, we will inshallah get our money back. But the punishment of the akhirah, there is no second chance. فَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. That once that punishment comes, that's it. There is no second year, third year, fourth year. That's it. It's over. And just like this garden was ruined, had no value, a person who does good things or just lives a life without faith, all their deeds will have no value in the akhirah. And once they get there, it will be too late to come back and say, okay, you know what? Give me a second chance. Give me a third chance. It's not happening. وَلَا عَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. This is the point that Allah wants to drive home. If they were to only realize. Now, there's also a scene. Remember I said every surah in this, except the two surahs, has a scene from the Day of Judgment. The scene from the Day of Judgment here is, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. Sorry, before that, there is a lot of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, interrogates them, asks questions. أَمْ لَكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ تَزْرُسُونَ أَمْ لَكُمْ أَيْمَانٌ عَلَيْنَا أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَى. This is a usloob, this is a style of rhetorical questions and interrogating, trying to deduce a logical conclusion. Trying to deduce a logical conclusion. This is a very, very important style that the Quran employs, to ask questions that are rhetorical, to refute people's beliefs, to deduce the correct belief then. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ. The day when the shin will be uncovered. A shin will be uncovered. وَيُدَعَوْنَا إِلَى السُّجُودِ. And they are called to make sajda. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They will not be able to do so. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. And their eyes will be lowered. تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً. And they would be covered in humiliation. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدَعَوْنَا إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. And they used to be called to make sajda before, while they had the ability to do so. They were sound, but they didn't do so. Now, what does this mean? The yukshaf an saq. This is from the mutashabihat of Quran. The reality of it is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. There is narrations, number two, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will uncover his shin on the Day of Judgment. Again, the reality of it is unknown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we leave to the akhirah. The thing that is to notice, there's also a linguistic meaning. Yukshafu an saq is linguistically means when something gets really difficult, right? Like the poet said, Shamarat, I forgot the line of poetry here. Talking about war, yukshaf an saqiha, like the war is getting intensified. It's, you know, pulled up. It's you know, when people pull up their thobe or something, they expose their ankles, and they're like, okay, let's go to war or something, right? That expression is also used. So that's one linguistic meaning, that this could mean that when the punishment of the Day of Judgment is intensified, then this is going to happen. The second meaning is that it is actually a real thing, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shin, and Allah knows best what the reality of that is. Of course, it's not like our shin. And this, again, is a mutashabih ayah of Quran. The reality is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have some clues. But the point of the ayah is, يُدَعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They're called to make sajda. And sajda is not just putting your head on the floor, by the way. Sajda is to accept someone's authority. They're called to make physical sajda, but they're not able to do it. Why? Because وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدَعَوْنَا إِلَى السُّجُودِ. They were called to sajda beforehand. They were called to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority beforehand when they were alive, وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ, and they had the ability to do so, but they rejected it. So on this day, when they see all the people who are believers accepting Allah's authority and falling into sajda, and they want to be a part of that, they will not be allowed to do so. And this is the idea, that life is going to pass by, and a person who doesn't do, doesn't accept Allah's authority, doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not be able to do so on the Day of Judgment, and will not have a second chance. It will be too late by then. فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. So leave me and the one who calls this statement a lie. ذَرْنِي. This is a very, very interesting style in the early Meccan revelations. Leave me. Right? ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. We'll see that again. Leave me and the one who I've created, alone. I'm going to take care of him. Very, very powerful style of the early Meccan surahs. Also, Allah concludes by saying here, فَصْبِلْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Don't be like the person of the whale, of the fish, the companion of it. إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ. When he called out and he was distressed, لَوْلَا أَن تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِن رَبِّهِ لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. The Prophet is being told, don't lose patience. Yunus alayhi salam lost patience. He had called the people, and the people rejected him. But instead of waiting for Allah to tell him, now is the time for you to leave, he decided to leave early. He lost patience with his people, alayhi salam, and he made that mistake. But Allah says, فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. But Allah, his master, chose him and made him of the righteous. But Allah is telling the Prophet, don't lose patience. You're in the early Meccan phase. The Prophet was probably expecting everybody was going to believe him, right? When the Prophet got the message, he would think, you know what? Everybody loves me. Everybody respects me. I tell them about this, this is beautiful, they will all accept, it'll be awesome. And they will start doing something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll start spreading this message. But the reaction was exactly the opposite. So this initial, remember, the initial reaction is very difficult. So he's being told here, you know, stay patient, don't lose hope, don't give up, just stay the course, it will all work out inshallah. That is Surah Al-Qalam. Now Surah Al-Haqqa is an even more intense surah. Surah Al-Haqqa is the surah that presents a very severe scene on the Day of Judgment. Al-Haqqa comes from Haqq. Haqq is truth. Al-Haqqa, the thing that is the truth that will happen. Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, what is this Haqqa? Right? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَالْحَقَّ, and what will make you realize what is Al-Haqqa? Right? Haqqa is the thing that is going to happen for sure. Al-Haqq. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that question, what is the Day of Judgment? By giving us a glimpse of His punishment. The Day of Judgment will have severe punishment. He gives us a glimpse of His punishment in the dunya that He sent out to two people. ثَمُود, عَاد and ثَمُود. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. فَأَمَّا ثَمُود, as for ثَمُود. فَأُهْلِكُوا بِالطَّاغِيَةِ, they were destroyed by a overpowering blast. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ, and as for عَاد, فَأُهْلِكُوا بِرِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ. This is something you don't find in other parts of Quran. Remember I said every story comes with a wrinkle that was not in other parts of Quran. Here, what we're going to find about the people of عَاد is the, we saw last time in Surah Ahqaf, تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْنِ رَبِّهَا فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَىٰ إِلَّا مَسَاكِنُهُمْ. What happened to their city? They were utterly destroyed, but their houses remained. Now Allah is going to describe what actually happened to the people while the punishment was coming. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. They were destroyed by رِيحٍ صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةٍ, a screaming, violent wind. You know, it's got a deafening whistle to it. When the wind blows, sometimes when it's really windy, you can hear the whistling of the wind. It's very unnerving to hear that. Allah says, صَرْصَرٍ عَاتِيَةً. It's got a sar-sar. That's the sound. Sar-sar. That's literally the sound that it's making. And this wind was not just something that came and blew away a few trees and left. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبَعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ. It was put upon them for 7 nights and 8 days. حُسُومًا, in succession. 7 nights, 8 days. فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى. So you would see the people as صَرْعَى. They are just crestfallen. They're just littered. Bodies are littered everywhere. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. As if they are the trunks of trees, palm trees, that are littered and they're hollowed. A palm tree is very solid. In fact, every trunk is very solid. Some trees have hollow trunks, but majority of them are very solid. But the palm tree in particular is a very solid trunk. But this is نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. Imagine a palm tree that's been uprooted or cut and the termites have eaten it from the inside, and then the trunk is hollow and that trunk is just, you know, blowing around in the wind, right? That is how they were. That's what the wind did to them. فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ. Do you see any remains of them? Do you see any, can you find any DNA of these people? They were absolutely obliterated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A glimpse of His punishment from the dunya. We ask for Allah's protection from his adab. And he also mentions, وَجَاءَ فِرْعَوْنَ, and Fir'aun came, وَمَن قَبْلَهُ, and those before Fir'aun, وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَاتُ بِالْخَاطِئَةِ, and the mu'tafikat, the cities that were flipped, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, people of Lut, the city of other cities were also flipped, بِالْخَاطِئَةِ, they did a lot of sin. فَعَصَوْا رَسُولَ رَبِّهِمْ. What was their biggest sin? They disobeyed the messenger of their master. فَأَخَذَهُمْ أَخْذَةَ الرَّابِيَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them with a punishment that was أَخْذَةَ الرَّابِيَةِ. It was beyond, just, it just you know, was off the charts. The punishment was off the charts. For example, inna lamma tagha al-ma'u hamalnakum fil jariyah. The water, when it was rising and it went beyond the limits, it exceeded the limits. Hamalnakum fil jariyah, that's the Nuh alayhi salam's flood. لِنَجْعَلَهَا لَكُمْ تَذْكِرَةً وَتَعِيَّهَا أُذْنُ وَاعِيَةً, so that this could become a reminder and something that the ears can remember. تَعِيَّهَا أُذْنُ وَاعِيَةً, meaning this is something that people will preserve generation after generation. Mention these stories one generation after the next. تَعِيَّهَا أُذْنُ وَاعِيَةً. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةً, so when the trumpet or the horn is blown with one nafkha, it's just one blow. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالِ, and the earth and the mountains are leveled. فَدُكَّتَا دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا, and they will be absolutely leveled in one blow. And another meaning of this is that you will see the mountains exploding. You will see them explode and crumble. So the earth will be absolutely flattened. We have, you know, peaks and valleys, right? All of that will be flattened and it will be one plain field. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ, and on that day will occur الْوَاقِعَةِ. الْوَاقِعَةِ is the thing that will occur in the Day of Judgment. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءَ فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاهِيَةً, and the sky will burst open as if it is wahiya, that it's got, you know, no actual stability. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا, and the angels will be on its edges. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً, 8 angels will come carrying the throne of your master. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ, that day you will be exposed. لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً, nothing will be hidden. Even the smallest thing that we did that was a sin, that will be put out and it will be exposed. The smallest good deed will also be exposed. Imagine the big ones. Exposed, everyone will see the sins. Everybody's going to see this is what this person did when they were, no one was looking, when they were in their private life. This is what this person used to do. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, but as for the one who's given his book in his right hand, فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ, he would say, هَا, hey, اِقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ, come here, read my book. When somebody gets a good grade, right, or they get a report card and they've got good grades, they generally show everybody. See, I got A's. They show their friends and they show their parents, I got A's. And then they post on Facebook with the picture, I got all A's, straight A's. Yeah, me, right? Because we want to share our achievements. This is the biggest achievement. And they will be jumping around. They'll be like, hey, look at me, look at me. I got my book in my right hand. Subhanallah, may Allah make us of these people. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيًا, I was certain that I was going to meet my book. I was going to meet my hisab. The interesting thing is, I remember I said the akhirah, if we are certain in the akhirah, that is the biggest thing that we need. If we can realize that we will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment, then our salah will become better. Our interaction with each other will become better. Everything will become okay. If we are always keeping in mind that we will be standing in front of Allah one day and we'll be waiting which hand we're getting the book in. If we can keep that in our mind, subhanAllah. Very powerful. مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ, so he will be in a very pleasant life. فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, in a very high garden. But because the garden is high, does it mean the fruits will be high? قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ, its fruits will be lowered. It will be in a higher place. You know, the most expensive apartment, most expensive condo is the penthouse. And the higher up it is, the more expensive it is. Because that's just how we are, right? So, جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, a very high garden. People will be like, that's a really nice place to be. But because it's a really high place, when someone lives in the penthouse or something, then all the grocery stores are further away. But for this person, قُطُوفُهَا دَانِيَةٍ, his fruits will be brought close to him. His stuff that he needs will be brought close to him. قُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا, eat and drink from it. بِمَا أَسْلَفْتْ هَنِيئًا, you know, happily, in satisfaction. No throwing up, no constipation, no food poisoning, nothing, not even getting full. Like you can feel content and stop, but if you keep wanna eat, if you want to continue eating, by all means, hani'an. Eat for an eternity if you want to eat for an eternity. Bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. You know, I think all of us are thinking, I know a few people, all they'll do is just eat in Jannah. Because that's all they do in dunya anyway. Bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliya. Because of what you did in the past days. Because of what you didn't eat in the past days, you didn't drink from in the past days, now you eat and drink and there's no limits. This is jaza min jilsin amal. Now on the flip side of the coin, the other side of the coin is wa man utiya kitabahu bishimali, the one who is given his book in his left hand. Fayaqulu ya laytani lam uta kitabiya. Now notice, let's read it and then I'll point out what we should notice here. Ya laytani lam uta kitabiya. Ya laytani, layt is, he's cursing himself. Says he'll be cursing himself and saying, I wish that I didn't receive my book. And this cursing is an emotional pain. Because a person, when they're cursing themselves, this is to show intense regret. And they can't do anything about it. So they're just suffering emotionally. And this person will say, while they're suffering emotionally, لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ, I wish I wasn't given my book. وَلَمْ أَدْرِي مَا حِسَابِيَ, and I had not known what my account was. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَ, that I wish that death would have been the end of it. A lot of the people say, from the great academics of the day, say, when you die, that's it. That's the end of you. And this person will be saying the exact same thing. He's like, I wish that was the case. That death was my end. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. You notice the little ha there. مَالِيَ سُلْطَانِيَ. Right? It's to drag, it's to capture the emotion or the pain in the person's voice. When a person is in pain, they kind of drag out the syllables. They drag out the syllables here. So مَالِيَ سُلْطَانِيَ. Like there's this dragging out of the syllables, that to capture that emotion. He says, my money has not done anything for me. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. My power and authority is gone. I used to have some authority back in the day. I could tell people what to do. Now I can't tell anybody what to do. I am totally worthless. SubhanAllah. That won't be the end of it. Now this person, because when a person has authority, that's what they actually cherish the most. To tell people, the ability to tell people what to do. Now this person has reached like rock bottom when it comes to suffering emotionally. He's lost everything, even his authority. And then Allah says, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, seize him and chain him, shackle him. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, then roast him in Al-Jaheem. SubhanAllah. We ask Allah's protection from Al-Jaheem. The hellfire that is a blaze that burns. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ, then chain him with a chain that is 70 cubits in length. Now this could mean 70, an actual 70, or 70 that's really large. Like shackle him with a really big chain. Notice something. خُذُوهُ is in plural. You all take him. فَغُلُّهُ, you all shackle him. And you all burn him. And you all shackle him. And insert him into the chain. It's because there will be a group of angels that will be coming. And they will be taking this person. And they will be, you know, shackling him and dragging him. Imagine that. When somebody is arrested, there's a group of officers that come and they shackle and they take the person and escort the person away. This person as well is a criminal. A group of angels will come and will, you know, grab him and shackle him and take him and drag him away. It's serious business. Because Allah uses the plural here to make us imagine that there's going to be a group of angels coming to do this to us. May Allah protect us from being in this category. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. What was the fault of this person? What crime did he commit? إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He did not believe in Allah the Most High. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he did not encourage the feeding of the poor. Forget about doing it himself. He didn't encourage others to do it. He was just greedy, pursuit of profit, that's all I want. I want money for myself, and that's all I care about. Because a person, all he cared about was building money, building assets, having control and authority, having lots of employees. You know, like CEOs, when they talk about things, they boast about their employees. So I have 5,000 employees in my company. Oh, I have, you know, 15,000. No big deal, right? Because that shows that you control 15,000 people's sustenance and their livelihood. It's in your hands. It gives you a sense of power, right? So this person, that's all he wanted. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. And he's not going to have anybody who's going to be a friend for him today. He didn't help out other people. No one's going to help him out today. الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. He didn't feed the poor. Today he's not going to have any food. Except غِسْلِينَ, which is the discharge of the wounds of the people of hellfire. The food is also a punishment in hellfire. The food of hellfire is not nourishment, it's punishment. لَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاطِئُونَ. Only the sinners will eat it. He asks Allah's protection from this kind of punishment. Let's move to Surah Ma'arij, and let's inshallah see if we can cover some of the other surahs as well. Surah Ma'arij is also a very early Meccan surah. Now this statement of Allah, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ, that a questioner is questioning of the punishment that's going to happen. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ, of a punishment that will happen. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ, for the ones who are disbelievers, there is nothing that will prevent it. Now, who is the sa'il? Who is the one who's asking? There's many opinions of scholars on this, but the one that I think is a good one, I just recently heard this one, and actually it makes a lot of sense, is that this sa'il is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who is making dua, or he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the punishment. You know why? Because he is constantly asked in the early Meccan phase, when is this punishment coming? What is this punishment? When is this punishment coming? Bring on the punishment, right? He's being told. So he's asking Allah, بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ, about the punishment. He's maybe asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dua, that what is this punishment, like when is this coming? And Allah tells the answer, he says, لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَعْفِعٍ, that when it comes, nothing is going to prevent it. The reason why I really like this explanation is because it really explains Surah Nuh really well. Surah Nuh has no scene from the Day of Judgment. It's the only surah here in this juz that exclusively details what happened to Nuh alayhi salam, and then his dua, and then the punishment, the answer of the dua, which was the punishment. Right? Because it shows that the people of Quraysh kept asking for a punishment. The Prophet ﷺ was asking, what is this punishment? And Allah says, you want to know what the punishment is like? Read the next surah. Next surah explains in detail what happens when a prophet makes dua against his people asking for a punishment. This is what happens. So it's a really nice way. There's many, many opinions on this. And again, Allah knows best who really is the one who's asking the question here is. And that is something that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And we can use opinions of scholars with qara'in, with what's called, you know, supporting evidences to make up a conclusion. And the supporting evidence that we're using here is that the nazam of Qur'an, right, the sequence of Qur'an is something that's set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's a supporting evidence that we're using to say, you know what, this opinion is a good opinion. Wallahu alam, again, Allah knows the reality. But the main thing to notice here is that it's not going to be prevented when it comes. And the thing that Allah tells the messenger after this is, first it describes, مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ, this punishment is from Allah, the owner of the ma'arij, the ways that lead up to him. تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَ, the angels and الْرُوحِ and Jibreel alayhi salam in particular, they go up to him in a day. كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً, the extent of which is 50,000 years. Which day this is, we don't know that either. Only Allah knows best. Maybe this is the Day of Judgment. Maybe this is a day before the creation. Allah knows best. Right? But this is something that is a mutashabih ayah. But then what he says after to the Prophet ﷺ is, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Notice it is in singular first person. Not فَصْبِرُوا, you all have patience. Fasbir, first in first person. You be patient. What type of patience? Sabran jamilan, extremely beautiful patience. And this is important because this kind of tone is used in Meccan Quran a lot when Allah wants to console the Prophet ﷺ. He wants to tell him, you know, it's okay. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbik. You know it hurts, you make tasbih. Wakum minas sajideen. And you stay in sajda. You make long sujood. You know it hurts what they say, you keep making long sujood. First person, sorry, in singular, it's used in singular, not in plural. Likewise here, fasbir, be patient. Sabran jamila. It's got this tone, is a consoling tone. So because of all of these evidences, we can say that the Prophet ﷺ was probably distressed when he was being rejected, and he was upset when people keep mocking him. He was not used to being mocked in his life ever. So he asked about this punishment, and Allah replies to him, when it's coming, no one is gonna prevent it, and you right now, sabran jamilan, be very, very patient, a very beautiful patience. And if you want to know what it's going to be like when a prophet makes a dua against his people, the next surah will explain to you, Surah Nuh. Now, innahum yarawnahu ba'ida, they see it as far. They don't think it's coming. Wa narahu qariba, we see it as very close. There's a narration where when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracted all the souls of the people, and he showed them all to Adam alayhi salam, and he says, "Ya Adam, this is your progeny. These are all the people." Subhanallah. And Adam alayhi salam saw somebody in the group. He said, "Oh Allah, who's that?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "That is Dawood, who's going to be a Rasul. He will come towards the end of time." Subhanallah. Dawood alayhi salam, Allah says, in that narration, he's coming at the end of time. Imagine how much closer we are to the end of times. Innahum yarawnahu ba'ida. They see that it is far away. Wa narahu qariba. But we see it as something that is very close. Yawma takunu samau kal muhli wa takunu jibalu kal ihn. When it happens, the sky will be muhl, murky oil. Will be turned into murky oil. Wa takunu jibalu kal ihn. It will be like wool. It will just blow away. If there's a stack of wool and there's a strong wind, the wool just blows away. It has no firmness. Meaning, the sky will no longer be the sky that we know it to be. And the mountains will not be the mountains that we know it to be. They will in fact be destroyed and removed. Dakka and dakka, like we just saw in the previous ayah, like the previous surah, or in surah Taha, we see that وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفَى فَيَذَرُهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. They will be removed and the entire earth will be flattened. لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. You will not see any hill or any depression in it. It will be totally flattened. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. The day the earth will be turned into a different earth. وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ. And the sky will be turned into a different sky as well. So this is what the description is describing here. And when that happens, وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. A close buddy will not ask his friend what's happening. No one's going to care about anybody else. Everyone will be concerned about themselves, and they will say, نَفْسِي نَفْسِي نَفْسِي. Myself, myself, myself. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. While they can see each other, a person will see their best friend, he's in trouble, he will say, I don't care about you. Right now I only care about myself. And in fact, on top of that, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ. The person who is a criminal will wish, لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ إِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. He would want that his ransom would be his sons or his children. Think about that. In the dunya, the parent will, you know, like, they will go through anything to protect their kids, to make sure the kids are safe. Right? When the kids, the parents take the kids for a walk even, the parents are on the side of the road, like they are facing the side of the road, and the kids are on the side that is away from the road. Even something as small as that. So there's no even chance of them getting on the road and getting hit by a car or something. This is the level of protection that a parent provides the child. On this day, they won't care anything. they would say, take my children here and burn them to save my life. Try to imagine the level of disparity that is going on here. يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِ ذِنْ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ and his wife, وَأَخِيهِ and his brother. صَاحِبَة is, you know, the spouse or the wife is somebody this man made a lot of sacrifices for, did so much for her, right? Basically, whatever she wanted, he gave her. He fought tooth and nail for her, competed with other men to get her, right? So she's a prized possession. But even her, he wouldn't care, said, take her, burn her, save me. وَأَخِي, and my brother, take him and burn him, I don't care about him either. وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الْتُؤْوِي, فَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِي, and his closest family that used to protect him, give him money, take care of him, those as well. All these people that I owe, I don't care, put them all in Jahannam. وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, and on top of that, do you see how Allah escalates it? It's from small, from friend, to, you know, family, to extended family, to وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, everybody in the earth, burn them all, I don't care, just save me. That's going to be the attitude of the person who's a criminal in that day. They would rather that everybody else be in hellfire and only they be saved. They don't care about it, as long as they're saved. ثُمَّ يُنْجِي, so it could save him. كَلَّا, absolutely not, that's not happening. كَلَّا, no way that's happening. إِنَّهَا لَظَى, then this is a very severe description of hellfire. SubhanAllah, I don't remember who it was. In fact, I don't remember the story, so I'm not going to quote it. But let's read the ayah. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى, absolutely no doubt, it is لَظَى, it's the flame. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى, نَزَعَ is to pull something out. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى, it pulls away flesh. It rips away flesh from a person's bones. This is not hellfire. This is not like fire, any other fire. It rips away a person's flesh from its bone. From the flesh from the skull. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى, and this fire, like I said, hellfire, Jahannam, is like a beast. It growls, it inhales, it makes a noise, it's angry. It wants more people to consume. And then it actually calls out to people. It actually will call people who are about to, you know, get into it, or the people who are already in it. تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى, the one who turned his back and wanted to, there's two ways of looking at it. The one who turned his back and ignored the message, or the one who wants to run away in the hellfire and was trying to run away. تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى, the hellfire will mock it, that person. And وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى, then this person collected and hoarded money. It will call out to them and snatch them and rip their exteriors apart, subhanAllah. Hellfire is not just a fire, it's the beast. That's why we are told so many times to ask for its protection. Every single prayer, we're told to make a dua, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وفتنة المحيا ومامات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. فتنة المحيا ومامات, this is the fitna of mamat, that we ask Allah سبحانه, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من من عذاب جهنم, جزاك الله خير, sorry, من عذاب جهنم, من عذاب القبر, ومن فتنة المحيا ومامات, ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال, right? This is a dua. Every single prayer we pray, we ask Allah's protection from this, because it's a beast and it devours. And there is no, this idea of being in hellfire for a few days, that's not going to be this, it's not even something that you can imagine what it's going to be like. We can't even imagine the pain that's going to be for a few days. Because a few days could be a couple hundred thousand years. خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَى, like the beginning of surah mentioned. It could be a couple of hundred thousand years in hellfire. This kind of punishment, being ripped apart. So it is not something to be taken lightly. It is something to be very, very afraid of. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا, that human beings were created, you know, anxious. Or another translation would be, they were created and they want everything quick. Everything should be quick, quick, quick. Why is there a wait? Why do I have to wait to see this punishment or this Jannah? Or why do I have to wait to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It should be quick. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. For example, when something bad happens, جَزُوعًا, the person becomes anxious and very impatient and very twitchy. Why is this bad happening to me? Stop it, just get over it. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when he has something good, he's like, this is all for me, I'm not sharing this for anybody else. This idea of the reaction to bad things, it is a test of our iman. If you want to see how good our iman is, you should see our reaction to bad things. Like the Prophet said, فَمَنْ صَبَرَ فَلَهُ الصَّبْرُ. When something bad happens, and a person is patient, then they will be patient and calm. وَمَنْ جَزِعَ فَلَهُ الْجَزَعُ. This is the same word. جَزُوعَ, جَزِعَ comes from the same root. And the one who is impatient, is twitching, is saying, why is this happening to me? When will this end? Why me, oh God? فَلَهُ الْجَزَعُ. Then he's not going to have any calm. And he's not going to be calm in his life. He's going to be impatient, and it's not going to solve the problem. فَلَهُ الْجَزَعُ. So this ayah makes reference to that. But he says, إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except for those who are الْمُصَلِّينَ, those who are praying. Constantly they are praying. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. They are constant on their prayers. They don't even miss a single prayer. Another interpretation could be that they, عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ. عَلَىٰ is like they treat it like a responsibility. Their salah, they treat it like a responsibility, not a chore. That, oh, you have to pray just because it's something you have to do, like brush your teeth. It's a chore, right? Salah is not like brushing your teeth. They say, they treat it ala salatihim. The ala denotes responsibility. They take it very seriously. They think that this is something that's very important. Ala salatihim da'imun. They do it every single time, on time, and they don't miss it. And the next few ayat are, we've discussed this in other parts of Quran. These are description of role model believers. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. They give from their amwal. Not mal, amwal. Plural of mal. They have lots of money, and they give from lots of money to other people. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. The one who asks, the one who's in need, and he's asking. وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And the one who is in need but doesn't ask. They have the social awareness to find out this person is needy, but they have the dignity to not ask, and they go and they give to that person. And notice they have amwal, they have lots of money. Lots of money. So they share from their money to, and they have the social awareness to know who deserves it. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And they are the ones who believe in the Day of Judgment. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ. And they're also very afraid from the punishment of their master. Just because they're doing good deeds doesn't give them false security. They don't forget about the punishment. Because إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُومٌ. The punishment of their master is not something to be, is not something to be taken lightly. And they protect their private parts as well. And they keep their promises. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. They very carefully guard their promises. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. If they say, if they give a testimony, they give a right. False testimonies in court are a big problem. Twisting facts in the court, and some innocent person gets convicted, and the guilty gets away. It's a big problem in our justice system. بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. They don't do this. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. And again, started with salah, ended with salah. Because that is the core of a person's life. That is the thing that a person, a believer, builds his life around. Salah. They are protecting their salah at all times. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتِ مُكْرَمُونَ. They will be honored in gardens. When hellfire is mentioned, Allah also always mentions Jannah as well, to give us hope. Surah Nuh mentions, like I said, very, very quickly, just mentions the punishment that the people who rejected a prophet, the punishment they got. And the response to the dua of a messenger, it's to warn the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that don't make dua against your people just yet, because then it's going to be a very bad punishment. And also a warning to the people that don't push the messenger to a point where this will happen to you. Nuh alayhi salam's people are described about what they did, right? That they would, for example, فقلت إني he says كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم every time I called them so that you can forgive them جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم they would put their fingers in their ears واستغشوا ثيابهم and they would cover themselves وأصروا and they will continue doing it واستكبروا استكبارا and they will continue to be arrogant you know if somebody is trying to hide from you knowing that you're there and they're trying to hide from you or ignore you and when you speak to them they you know when someone is speaking to us and we're one person is like checking their email or something or checking their texts it's very rude when you're talking to a person and they're not even looking at you right these people would do this deliberately they would deliberately ignore and humiliate the messenger Nuh alayhi salam to show how much they despise him and the message So this is given as a warning to Quraysh. Don't do this to him. Because what is about to follow for Nuh's people will also fall on you. Also in it is the description, the next surah, Surah Jinn, we covered that in Surah Ahqaf, is the description of the jinn who accepted Islam. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ This is something the Prophet didn't see, but he was told that happened. He was reading Quran in Fajr Salah after Ta'if, and a group of jinn passed by and they accepted Islam and they became warners. So the Prophet is being told here in Surah Ma'arij, he's very upset. He's asking about the punishment. He's asking Allah, when is this punishment? What is the punishment? And then he's told here in Surah Jinn that look, you do your job and things will come your way. Unexpected help will come for you. Unexpected victories will be given to you. Just continue doing your job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. And then after that, Surah Muzammil and Mudathir, they're like a pair of surahs. Muzammil and Mudathir, Surah Muzammil mentions, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Stand up at night and pray. Most of the night. نِصْفَهُ أَوِنْ قُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا And Surah Mudathir says, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَثِّرْ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ Stand up and warn people. Stand up and give da'wah. Which shows you the relationship that a person has to have their spiritual life in order before they can go ahead and do any work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is calling people to Allah and servicing the da'wah and doing this for the masjid and doing that for the masjid, but their own spiritual life is in shambles. They don't have any, their Quran, their connection with Quran is very weak. They don't really know what it's talking about. They don't really pray as much as they should be. Then that da'wah will not be as blessed. Well, the Prophet ﷺ, this is the ideal, you know, model that Allah gives us. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Stand up at night and pray. And when you're praying, you're reading Qur'an that you understand. And قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ Stand up and warn people. Both of them go together. You see, there's both قُمْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ One is inside the home, one is outside the home. One is personal development, one is community development. Really beautiful correlation between the two surahs. Inshallah, we'll end here, but this is again my goal for this year, inshallah, on the Sundays. The halaqah that will be for on Sundays, inshallah, after Ramadan will be to cover these surahs from Surah Al-Hujurat all the way to Surah Nas and cover these real gems that are in these last four juz so that can, inshallah, be a resource for us and so that we can come closer to Allah and have a very firm understanding of some of the most important motifs of this book. Jazakumullah khairan. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll start a little earlier at 6:50, inshallah, 10 minutes early, not 7, because iftar is creeping up on us, and also tomorrow is the last day. Tomorrow is also the Juz Amma, which is a larger Juz and has a lot of content. So if there's an extra 10 minutes, inshallah, it'll be very beneficial. So 6:50, inshallah, tomorrow. People online as well, please keep that in mind. It'll be 6:50. Jazakumullah khairan. Any questions? Otherwise, we'll conclude. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته جزاكم الله خيرا